I'm not going to read a text per se tonight, but if you wanted to turn to Matthew, the first chapter, we'll be looking at verses there. For some time on Wednesday night, we've been looking at the patriarchs shaped by faith and doing character studies. We've only begun with Abraham. I'm not going to do that tonight because the Christmas time, I want to be involved in the Christmas story, but I did want to do a character study. Joseph, not the one of the Old Testament, but the one of the New Testament. I want to do a character study on Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus. Jesus' father was the heavenly father, but I'm going to talk about Joseph, who was married to Jesus' mother, Mary. And I want to entitle this tonight, Just Like Joseph. Just Like Joseph. You know, usually you hear children saying this, and some older youth, and sometimes even teenagers, and even I've heard adults say it. They'll say something like this, when I grow up, I want to be just like. You ever heard that expression? Did you ever use that expression? When I grow up, I want to be just like. Sometimes it's not a person. Sometimes it's as far as a name, it's something they do. I want to be just like that doctor. I want to be just like that policeman. I want to be just like that mother, just like that father. But I want to ask you, have you ever heard anyone say, when I grow up, I want to be just like Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus? Have you ever heard that? Has anyone ever heard somebody say that? Just like Joseph. You see, I believe Joseph is one of the most overlooked Bible characters, and yet he's a tremendously spiritual example and a great model to follow. Yet here's the interesting thing about Joseph. It has nothing to do with what he said. Do you realize while there's several verses in the Bible referencing Joseph, there is not a record in Scripture of Joseph saying one word. There's not one recorded word that Joseph said. Now, I know he talked, okay? But the point is, his life, it wasn't captured by what he said. His life was captured by what he did. And I think it's instructive. That's really true for all of us. Our lives really aren't captured by what we say. Our lives are captured by what we do. And so we're going to look at this truly great example in Scripture hardly ever mentioned, Joseph. Here's the thing about Joseph this time of year. Joseph has been relegated to just kind of like being a stage prop, right? I mean, you got a nativity scene, you got Mary, you've got the baby Jesus, you got the wise men, and oh yeah, you got to have Joseph too. He's just a prop on the stage. It's kind of like most modern weddings. The ministers become a stage prop. I mean, you got to have flowers and a unity candle and a cake and singer. And oh, yeah, you got to have a minister, too, to stand up there as a stage prop. And that's what Joseph has become in our thinking. He's just part of the scenery of the nativity. So I want to ask a question tonight. Why would someone want to be just like Joseph? Some of you may write these things down. You're going to have to write them down in a hurry because I'm going to go through them like this. Why be like Joseph? First of all, he was trusted by God. God trusted Joseph. Let me ask you, parents, do you trust your children with just anybody? How many parents are real careful with whom you trust your child with? Listen to this. The Heavenly Father trusted Joseph with his son. Some of you, if you have young dependent children, you face the question, whom are you going to leave your children to? And you want to put that in your will. Who are you going to leave your children to? That's a big question. In other words, whom would we trust our children with if tragedy happened to us? But the point is, God entrusted the protection, the provision, the training of his son, the Son of God. He entrusted that to Joseph. Mary was chosen to give birth. That's a tremendous privilege and honor. But Joseph was chosen to be the protector and the provider. Let me just put it this way. God trusted Joseph with Christ. I have a question for us tonight. Can the Father trust you with Christ? Can the Father trust me with Christ? Trust us to be faithful, to be true. Secondly, tonight, just like Joseph, he was righteous. He was righteous. Look at verse 18. We'll begin to get a little of the story here in the verses. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. This is verse 19. Being a just man. Let me tell you this. Word just is the same word and is the word for righteous. Then Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man. Now, we could talk all night about what it means to be righteous, but let me just give you my definition for this evening. Righteous is always desiring and striving to do what is right. That's a righteous person. Always desiring and striving to do what is right. How many knows we live in a society that does not recognize righteousness? Have you noticed that people are famous not because of anything good or wholesome? They're famous because they're infamous. They're famous because they're odd many times. Or else on the other side of the spectrum, they're famous because of ability and talent or wealth or prosperity. But when's the last time you heard someone recognized for being righteous? That only happens in the economy of the Bible. But Joseph is recognized not for being a great singer, not for being even a talented carpenter, but he's recognized as being a righteous man, just like Joseph. I think it ought to be the desire, and I'm not saying it's not, but it ought to be the desire of every born-again believer. I want to be righteous. We don't have time to get into theology. Ultimately, we're only made righteous because of Christ. We know that. But it begins with a desire in our hearts. Amen. So much of American Christianity, the desire to live prosperously and the desire to be successful, I'm talking about in Christianity, has replaced the desire to be holy, to be righteous, to be pure. But to be like Joseph is the desire to be righteous, thoughts, words, deeds, living. Just like Joseph, he was merciful. Look at the last part of verse 19. We've got to talk about this. Joseph being a righteous man, here's the dilemma. He's righteous, and yet he's not willing to make Mary a public example. There's a dilemma here. He's righteous. By the way, I'm going to preach this tonight, but it's the same thing with God. God was righteous and holy. He wasn't willing to destroy us. And here's Joseph. He's righteous, but he was not willing to make Mary a public example. You see, here's the story. By all appearances, here's Joseph engaged to Mary, and by all appearances, Joseph has been done wronged. Joseph has been sinned against. For all practical purposes, Joseph could only come to one conclusion. Mary had been with another man. We know that's not true, but that's the conclusion that Joseph had to have come to. And being righteous, Joseph could not condone that behavior. Being righteous, Joseph could not condone unwed pregnancy because in every case, if there's an unwed pregnancy, expectancy, there has been fornication, there has been premarital relations, and that's the only conclusion that Joseph could come to. Mary had been involved in that, and God had condemned then and now. God condemns that kind of relation outside of marriage. And so, being a just man, Joseph cannot countenance what Mary has done or seemingly has done. But he's not willing to make her a public example. Why? He loved her. He thought of her. He was concerned for her, even though he felt she had wronged him. And so he had two options in that culture. Let me briefly explain. In that culture, the engagement was as binding as the marriage. You had to get a divorce from an engagement, a betrothal, just like you had to get a divorce from a marriage. And they're engaged. And so Joseph had two options. Number one, he could drag her to the public trial. Much like, remember later, or in the Gospel of John, where the Pharisees dragged the woman caught in adultery, dragged her in front of Jesus. He could have done that. He could have brought her to public trial in that community and proved her a fornicator and had her condemned. And did you know in Scripture that death was the ascribed punishment for adultery? It wasn't always practiced, but it's written in the law. Stone the adulterer. And so he could have brought Mary to this public trial and all that shame and all that went with that. Or he had another option, legal option. He could privately go to the authorities and obtain a divorce decree. But if he did that, listen, even though he's the wrong party, if he went for the divorce decree, he had to pay a hefty fine. And so he could go get the divorce decree, pay the hefty fine, take it to Mary and say, get out of town. All secretive. And guess what Joseph had chosen to do? Not to bring her to public trial and shame her, but at cost to himself to show her mercy. Now we know that she was expectant by the Holy Spirit, and we know that Joseph was told, listen, it's not like you think. That which is in marriage of the Holy Spirit, go ahead and go through with this marriage. But I'm talking about the options that Joseph had. And you know what option he chose? He chose mercy. His righteousness says, it's wrong, you've been done. But he chose, how many wants to be just like Joseph? Not vindictive, not revengeful. You know, many times people that are done wrong, they want to make the perpetrator pay. Even within the church, folks been done wrong, somebody's got to pay. Joseph wasn't like that. He wasn't revengeful. Just like Joseph, he was thoughtful. I'm not talking about considerate here. I'm talking about pensive, of thinking. Look in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, he didn't rush out and act and react. He thought on these things. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Just like Joseph. He didn't just act on his emotions, and he had to have been feeling strong emotions. He didn't react impulsively or reflexively or rashly. He thought about those things. How many knows it's a good thing, it's a wise thing not to just react and follow our emotions, but to give true thought to our course of action? Joseph thought on these things. Had Joseph reacted from his emotion, it would have went badly for Mary and Jesus, and he would have missed out on being a part of that tremendous, monumental moment of history because he didn't think, he just reacted. I'm not going to go through it tonight, but Scripture is full of admonitions to think about things, to gird up the loins of our mind, to be self-controlled in our thinking and not react in our emotions. Joseph did not react from emotions. He was thoughtful. Just like Joseph, he was true to his heritage. Look at verse 20. As he thought on these sayings, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Now listen, Joseph and the Bible writer Matthew took pains to show us that Joseph was in the lineage of King David. He was biologically related to King David. But when the angel said to him, Joseph, thou son of David, he's not just talking about the fact that Joseph is a biological descendant of King David. No, he's saying you really are a son of David. You're acting like a son of David. You're being true to your heritage. You're being true to your bloodline. You're being true to your family and who you are. You're a son of David. I want you to know a wonderful thing, just like Joseph, is when we're true to our heritage, true to our bloodline, when we act like children of God, I think it ought to be in our hearts and our desires that forever, in every situation, that we act and react as children of God that we are. I want to be a child of God. You know, the world ought to pick up on that. They act like they're a son of David. They're a son of God. They're acting like a child of God. Just like Joseph, he was brave. Again in verse 20, the angel called him the son of David. And then the angel said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Now for the angel to instruct Joseph not to fear, that must mean that Joseph was fearful. You can minimize that by saying apprehensive or whatever, but the angel said, Joseph, don't fear to take Mary to be your wife. In other words, Joseph was fearful. And he had some justifiable fears. He had to think about what it was going to be like to raise another man's child. He had to think about the ribbing he would receive, the ridicule. He had to think about the gospel, the enigma in the society that his family would be because he had married Mary. He had to think and conclude that not only was Mary unfaithful, I want you to think about this, but if she had been unfaithful, she had a lover. I'm talking about before the angel made it clear, he had to think, her lover is still around here somewhere. What a fool I'll look like. Fearful for the future that would be involved in taking Mary as his wife. But the angel said, fear not. Do this. Take her as your wife. And he feared not, and he took her as his wife. Let me tell you something. You know, courage and bravery is not the absence of fear. Courage and bravery is doing the right thing, the dutiful thing, in spite of the fear, in the face of fear. I want to tell you, if you and I serve God, we will face opposition to the point it'll strike fear in our hearts. Fear what's going to happen to us. Fear what we're going to face. Fear what tomorrow holds. But I want to tell you, the brave thing isn't to compromise. The brave thing isn't to seek the easy way out. The brave thing is to obey the Lord, even when we're fearful. Be just like Joseph. He was obedient. Verse 21, the angel said, Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And then in later verse, and called his name Jesus. The angel said, do these things, and Joseph did it. He didn't talk, he didn't argue, he just obeyed. It took faith. It took faith to believe that Mary's baby was truly of the Holy Spirit, truly divine. It took faith to face the future. But when Joseph was told to do these things, he did that. I want to be like Joseph. I just want to be obedient. I've got to make the point that that's a theme that's almost completely missing in modern Christianity. The theme of obedience. It's in the scripture, but it used to be preached and sought after. To obey God. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. That theme is almost totally extracted from modern Christianity. But be like Joseph. God said it. I want to do it. Be like Joseph. He was restrained. Look in verse 25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And I'm going to be as discreet as the scripture. But Joseph did not exercise his marital privileges for months after he married Mary. One of the reasons is there would be no mistake. The child was not his. The child was of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to see what that required of Joseph. That he would restrain himself, his ways, his desires and intentions. But he was a just man. So he was a man of restraint. Aren't you glad we don't just have to do what our base desires dictate for us to do. But by the power of God and serving God, we are people of restraint. Amen. Just like Joseph. Just like Joseph, he made great sacrifices. Not only did he assume the responsibility of taking the full term expected Mary all the way from Galilee to Bethlehem and all that would be entailed in that trip, not only did he accept the responsibility of being there and helping in her delivery away from home and less than desirable circumstances, but something else happened where all these, whatever it is, 90 miles, I'm trying to download how far, away from home, you have this baby in Bethlehem, you're getting ready to go home, but the angel speaks to Joseph and says, listen, you're in danger here, and you're in danger if you head home. You take the mother and child and go all the way crossing the desert, the wilderness, the same one the Israelites crossed. You go all the way down to Egypt and get this child out of here before Herod kills him. And what did Joseph do? Again, he obeyed, but it was at great sacrifice. He's got a business at home, a carpentry business. What's going to happen if you don't go home and attend to his business? He's going to lose it. It's great expense to move that far to Egypt. It's great sacrifice. He's given up his home, his house, his family, his town. And as I said, business. At great expense, he takes Mary and Jesus to Egypt. Then he gets settled in Egypt. And God said, okay, it's time to move back. And now he's got the expense breaking loose. I'm sure he didn't just lie around in Egypt. By the way, one thing sometimes we miss, you know, we see the worshipful act of the magi, the wise men, giving the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and that is a worshipful act, but it was also a way to pay the expense to Egypt and for the family to live on once they were there. But if I know anything about Joseph, he didn't just lie around. He established his business in Egypt. And now he's uprooting the family and himself again. What I'm trying to say, just like Joseph, when it was time to make a sacrifice for the cause of Christ, he made the sacrifice. Last of all, tonight, maybe you could add to the list, but just like Joseph, he invested in another person other than himself. He raised and trained a child that was not his. How often have you heard somebody say of Jesus, he was a carpenter? It's true. Wasn't he a carpenter? How did Jesus get to be a carpenter? Joseph trained him. Joseph invested in his life. Joseph's purpose in serving God was to raise and train Jesus, and Joseph did that. By all inference in Scripture, when you read the Scriptures, and by things that later happened, it wasn't long after Joseph got Jesus raised and trained, Joseph died. But he had fulfilled his calling. He had invested in our Savior, trained him as that carpenter. Amen. Would you come, music? So, you might not have heard it before, but how many could say tonight, we'll hear it for the first time, I want to be just like Joseph. He's more than just a prop in the nativity scene. But I want to tell you, he did make it in the Bible. His words didn't. But I want to tell you, there are lots of unnamed, unmentioned folks that are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. You don't know their names to say, I want to be just like. But all through this history of serving God, there have been faithful people that have fulfilled these qualifications and more. And I believe I'm preaching to many of them tonight. Amen. What a great example. Here's the thing, though, when we look at Scripture, we can never believe that we can be just like those examples until we admit that those examples were just like us. They were human like us. They had difficulties like us. They had fears like we. They had all the problems we have. And then we can realize we can be just like them spiritually because they were just like us naturally. Amen. We can be like Joseph. And so we're in this climate right now that every day it seems like another well-known figure of American society falls because accusations have been made, accusations of unfaithfulness and impropriety and all of this. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? I don't want to go into that or whatever, justifiable, unjustifiable. All I know is whether it's political field or Hollywood or, you know, whatever, all these different fields, men are being brought down by accusations. And there can't be that much smoke without being a lot of fire, too. So I want to tell you, a lot of those accusations are definitely true. And men that held positions that should be positions of esteem and respect, men that were in positions of power and authority, and to find out that's the kind of person that they were. Shouldn't surprise us, but it's still, but in that type of climate, we got people like Joseph. There's those kind of men, but then there's a Joseph. Amen. And with all the news of all those men and authority and powerful, I want you to know all across this land, there are people who serve God in faithfulness and trueness of integrity and character. We don't have to be like our society. We can be like those folks. Amen. Could you stand across this building? Father, thank you so much that you sent Jesus to save us. And it's not, Lord, just assurance that we're going to go to heaven. But it's a change of our life, a change of our thinking, a change of our living. Lord, you give hope where there is none. You give light where there's darkness. Lord, you give purpose where there's meaninglessness. Lord, you give forgiveness where there's shame and guilt. Lord, that's why you came, Lord, to change us. Thank you, Lord. I wonder just right before we come if there's any here tonight that you've never let Christ change your life, but oh, there's a desire in your heart. Some of the things you even heard tonight, I want to live for God. I want to serve Him. I want to be righteous. I want you to know we use these steps as an altar. Here's the wonderful thing in the words of Jesus: whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, I'm glad his arms are open. Praise the Lord. I'm going to invite the church to come and pray. And for any purpose or reason, you come with them and pray tonight. Someone will pray with you. Could we gather in? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the examples that we have in Scripture. Lord, we can be like them spiritually because they were like us naturally, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Christ. Thank you, Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us to fear not. Help us to think on these things. Help us, Lord, to be righteous but merciful. Righteous but merciful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we seek you tonight. Lord, we call upon you. You're the living Savior. We celebrate your birth. You're the one that came. You're the one that lived. You're the one that suffered. You're the one that died. You're the one that rose again. You're the one that ascended to the Father. You're the one that's coming again. Hallelujah, Lord. We seek you tonight. Lord, our life is yours. Our future is yours. Our way is yours, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What a Savior. What a Lord. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Glory to God. What a Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, minister to your people tonight. Lord, thank you for faith. Thank you, Lord, that you've entrusted us with Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I want to be obedient. Lord, I want to be righteous. Lord, I want to be merciful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.